Good morning. This is the Magellan Show. I am Magellan, your host. Thanks for joining us today on this Tuesday, 29th day of September, 2015. Stay tuned. We've got a great show lineup for you today. We're going to be talking about what's going on in our world, politically, spiritually, and so much more. So you don't want to go anywhere. Stay right where you are for our program. Our live number is 646-929-0709, 646-929-0709. A bit later in the show, I will be giving you a playback number where you can listen to our show in its entirety by phone at your convenience. Also, don't forget our website, www.magellanshow.com. Where you can listen to our program live on the internet, connecting to Blog Talk Radio that way. Also, we appreciate all of the websites out there that post our program regularly. Websites like podbay.fm, of course, iTunes. If you download the iTunes app, you can subscribe to our podcast absolutely for free. And IQDcalls.com. We want to thank them especially for what they do and for posting our programs. We've got our very own Magellan page over there, and we appreciate all of you for posting and for getting the word out. Our email address, contact@magellanshow.com. We're on Twitter @RealMagellan. Okay, let's get into the news now. We've got, like I said, a lot of things to cover today. Since our last program, the Pope is back in Europe, in Italy, in the Vatican, after having spent several days in the United States, as well as Cuba. And I was paying close attention to this entire visit, trying to get a sense as to what his theme was and what he was trying to say. So we're going to talk about the Pope today, not exclusively about the Pope. We'll cover a few other issues as well. But you don't want to miss this program. You want to stick right where you're at, because I am going to do my best to try to make some sense of that and to see, okay, what does it mean for us politically, prophetically? So whether you're a Catholic or not, if you are a Catholic, I just want to say that that what I may say today is not intended to offend you. But I do believe there are some things that I have to share in light of this visit. And look, let me just say that even though I am not a Catholic, that I believe that there are some things shifting within the church. And the leadership obviously has radically changed. If you go back a few years ago, even though those of us that are Protestants might not have agreed with the entirety of Catholic doctrine, there were things that we had some common areas of agreement on. And I remember when Pope John Paul would come and others to this country, and he really spoke with conviction. You know, spoke against communism, spoke against abortion, spoke against a lot of the issues that many conservative Christians believe are necessary to speak out against. But we didn't quite hear that. We heard a very different message. But like I said, stay with us, and I'll get to that momentarily. Let's go ahead, before we go any further, and look at just a few headlines, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty, and we'll also look at some of the markets as well. For those of you that are just joining us, this is the Magellan Show. This is our Tuesday edition, 646-929-0709. Tell your friends there's still time to tune in and we've got a few lines open as well. Here are the top stories that we have reported for today and posted on our Real Magellan page on Twitter. Trust in mainstream media hits rock bottom. I'm not surprised there. China reportedly sends aircraft carrier to Syria to help Russians fight ISIS and jihadists. Mark Zuckerberg caught on hot mic saying Facebook will censor anti-migrant posts. Let me just address that for a moment. Talk a little bit about Mark Zuckerberg and what has happened to Facebook. Oh, where do I begin? You know, when Walmart got started, Walmart really had low prices. I mean, they still do by comparison. But I remember in the early days of Walmart how different ones would say, well, just wait. Walmart's going to raise their prices once they've got everybody kind of lured in. It'll get everybody reeled in, then they're going to raise those prices. And Walmart did do that. Again, even though they are less expensive in some places, they definitely have raised prices. And I'm not just factoring it in with inflation. They have still raised prices over and above normal inflationary activity. And when we look at Facebook, everybody got reeled in. First, it was the young people. They shifted over from MySpace. And MySpace was kind of a hobby. It was something that people would, young people would get on. And they talk about their favorite music, and they'd post it. It was just kind of just something that you would do online. It wasn't something that took up a lot of your time. It wasn't like a part of yourself. And then Facebook came along, and boy, did it come along. And to this day, I still scratch my head, but there were definitely some powerful forces that were pushing for Facebook. And so the young people started getting on Facebook little by little by little when it was growing. I remember when I got on Facebook, there were, oh my, maybe 100 million people at that. And this is like back in, 2008 or so. And then it just kept growing and growing. And then you started getting all age groups. First you got the young people on Facebook, and then mom and dad are on Facebook, then grandma and grandpa are on Facebook. And then it just becomes this total, alternate reality or virtual reality, if you will, where people are so hungry, I'm going to get some more of this, where people are so hungry to be seen and to be heard that they gravitate and that they run to Facebook. Now, there's some good things about Facebook, sure. But it has become a place where these voids in people's lives are seemingly filled or fulfilled. And that feeds the beast. That feeds Facebook. And Facebook grows that way. And so now everybody's on Facebook and everybody's got the Facebook addiction. Got to post what they did. I went to Walmart today, so I've got to tell everybody that I did. I just had a cup of tea. I got to let the world know. All of these different things, and it's been, we could talk about some of the social impacts of Facebook, but I won't even go there entirely on how maybe it is. Cause people to be less reliant on real life relationships with family, friends, husbands, wives, etc. But I'm going to talk about the CEO now. He's got everybody reeled in for different reasons. whether it's loneliness, narcissism, whatever it may be. And now Zuckerberg is striving to block free speech. That was one of the great things about social media, is speaking out. Now, if you are politically correct, then go ahead, speak out. But what he is doing now is he is getting in there, and this article, this headline that I had just read, there are a lot of world leaders that are actually quite frustrated with the stance that Zuckerberg is taking, because he's trying to block certain things. Now, we're not talking about, let me give an example. Remember that shooting that took place, where was it, in Virginia? Well, somewhere out east. Remember when you had the gunman that went in and shot the cameraman and the reporter, and they were both killed and injured the other person? The gunman posted that on Twitter, and Twitter took it down. Okay, I get that. That makes total sense to intervene on something like that, because it's necessary to take off certain things that are just so graphic and disturbing. But what Zuckerberg is wanting to do is he is wanting to censor posts from Germans that are disgruntled with the millions of migrants that are coming into Germany. And you say, well, how does that pertain to me? I'm not German, so what's the point? Look, do you think it's going to stop with Germany? No. Now, and this is just an example of where we are. So what does the headline say? Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg was caught discussing the censorship of anti-migrant post at the United Nations Development Summit Saturday, while speaking with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. She seemingly has made herself the Queen of Europe. According to CNBC, the pair were picked up by a hot mic. They didn't know they were being heard. After Merkel confronted Zuckerberg on social media post critical of the wave of Syrian refugees entering Germany. After being asked about Facebook's effort to curtail to do some work, confirming he'd already started looking at ways to hinder comments in opposition to Merkel's immigration stance. Are you working on this? Merkel asked. Yeah, Zuckerberg responded before their microphone was cut off, was cut. They didn't know they were being heard. In response to the shocking revelation, media outlets such as Bloomberg immediately leapt to the defense of the tech giant, insinuating that any critique of German government's response to the migrant crisis would be racist and xenophobic. Only just last week, an article by InfoWars' Kit Daniels examining the Pope's controversial comment on mass immigration was pulled and barred from Facebook without explanation. Wow, isn't this wonderful? Now, some of you might be disturbed by what I'm saying because of the fact that I'm talking about Facebook. And look, I know Facebook has a lot of great things. You know, it's got a lot of interesting aspects to it. But here you have this power hungry CEO that is talking with the leader of Germany, and they're trying to figure out ways to block Germans that are upset, that are frustrated. Nothing racist about that. So, I'm so sure that Chancellor Merkel of Germany has invited Syrian immigrants into her home. I'm so sure that Mark Zuckerberg has invited immigrants in his home that he doesn't know really who they are, what their status is. They have no way of verifying these people as they come in. to know if they are radicalized, to know if they are jihadist, no way of knowing. And all of these things are converging at the same time. Even while they're trying to control, you know, we give these people their power. Even Zuckerberg's worth almost $40 billion, worth more than some small countries' GDP, because of our loneliness, because of our narcissism, because of our lack of desire to communicate with family and friends and maybe I'm sounding harsh, but the point is, it's coming. The beast is coming back to bite us. Just like Walmart started out cheap, low prices, then they jacked it up. Facebook was this place where you could express ideas freely. So now, if you're a German and you're upset because your little town of 5,000 now got 20,000, so-called Syrian migrants. Some of them may not even be Syrian at all. 3/4 of them are young men, and are in some cases showing violence already. But they're saying, but Zuckerberg and Chancellor Merkel, from the confines of their comfortable fortresses, want to say, oh well, you know, don't talk about that. We're going to block you. We're going to block your free speech. You know, and you're like, okay, sure, that's fine. I'll continue to. You know, I mean, it's like, you just want to say, no, I don't like this. I refuse to give you power. I refuse to give you that, you know, I mean, there's going to come a day, I think, where people are going to wake up, at least I hope they do, and say, you know what, we're not going to associate ourselves with social media platforms that block free speech, and it's not going to stop in just Germany. It's going to spread to other places too. It already has. I mean, it already has. Even now, I mean, we see censorship on Facebook, even in this country. But everything is converging. Look at, I said in the beginning of this broadcast that the Pope Francis has made several attempts to promote a global agenda. So he's right in line with the likes of Zuckerberg, Chancellor Merkel, the President of the United States, and so many others who are pushing for global governance, who are pushing for this new agenda, all under the cloak of environmental awareness. That's why, I mean, you hear the Pope speak. I mean, like I said, I'm not a Catholic, but at least when Pope John Paul would come, Pope John Paul II would come, or even Benedict the 16th would come, or others, when they would come, they would at least say, you know what, we stand for the right to life. We believe that an unborn child has rights, and you know, they would speak out on these issues. They would talk about the importance of family, and let their voice be heard. But when Pope Francis came, did we hear any kind of dialogue? Do we hear any kind of discussion on that? No. All he wanted to talk about was why we are so bad as a nation for not wanting to accept illegal immigrants. Well, for some of us, that may be against that. So we're really bad if we're against breaking the law and saying, oh, yeah, no, we don't want illegal immigration. You know, how dare us? And that was his first mission, even before he came here. Because you can't have a global government without first allowing the open border policy. Now, the Vatican has yet to take in any Syrian any Syrian migrants. No. They're not allowing that. They won't. Some of their walls are 100 foot high. They're not going to allow that. No. But they want you to. They want your country to. They want you to kiss the government that you once knew, your free government, goodbye. And to have open borders, to have a free-for-all. And don't get too comfy here in the United States. Because what's going on in Germany, in Central and Western Europe, and in France, and some of these other nations, get ready, it's coming here. Secretary Kerry has already said that. It's coming here. And so he is speaking in one voice with the United States, with the leadership of the United States of America, totally and completely. Not speaking about conservative values, but about open borders, illegal immigration, and how you are just bad if you do not align yourself with that way of thinking. But it doesn't stop there. It continues on. Talks about carbon taxes, and he rides around that little fiat trying to look humble. When he, you know, if you want to talk about carbon emissions, was responsible for quite a bit as he flew into the United States on his Boeing 777. And he didn't take a little paddle boat to the United States. You know, which science has already shown us that we're not in global warming anyway. It's a total farce. It's a total lie. We are in global cooling right now. The sun is cooler now than it's been in 200 years. And we're about to move. We need to be concerned about moving into global cooling. Because there's a shift taking place. A lot of this is cyclical, but it's just a blatant lie to say that we are. I know sometimes, you know, you go through summertime and like, oh, it's so hot, we must have global warming. But no, get ready, the other way around. But they're saying all this, and so why do they say this? So they push this false data and science and research so that they can promote their real agenda. They don't care about. Even if we had global warming, they don't care about that. And by the way, if you're just joining us, this is the Magellan Show, 646-929-0709. They don't care about that, but what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to say, look, because we say that there is global warming, we need to take certain measures. And these measures are put in place for what reason? To control you. So we have to say the following. You have a carbon footprint. The very fact that you're inhaling and exhaling causes us to, at some point in time, want to tax you for just what impact that you as a human being are putting on the environment. Now, forget the fact that these large corporations are responsible for real emissions that are harmful to our health, but they get out of, I mean, you know, they're exempt because from taxes and everything because, you know, they're the special interest groups. But so they don't want you to drive the vehicle of your choice. Shame on you for driving an SUV. Shame on you for having any land. Shame on you if your house is too big. So that they can take your money, spread the wealth around, and have everybody You see, history repeats itself. If you look back in time and you look at the control mechanisms of the socialist and the communist, you'll see the signs of it. There are people that are elderly to this day that lived under tyranny, that lived in socialist and communistic times within Europe back during World War II and post World War II, and they understand the climate, even the pre-socialist and communist climate. I would encourage you to watch Sound of Music. Look, it's got great music, and it's a beautiful story. But you'll understand a lot by watching that classic movie, and how you had. And we're going to continue talking about the controversies with Pope Francis. To stay right where you're at. This is the Magellan Show. But you watched how Captain Von Trapp was so distraught, so disturbed because of what was happening to his country. The Austria that he loved was slipping away. And everywhere he saw these flags rising, you know, going up of the Nazi flag with the swastika. And not seeing his Austrian flag anywhere, not seeing the freedom that he had once loved and fought to keep, that it was all slipping away. And how the young people were being deceived and were being duped into believing that they were part of a growing and rising society that was going to change everything under the Third Reich. Watch it again, if you haven't already, or for the first time, I encourage you to do that. You can learn a lot through history, my friends. Sadly, in this country, we've not faced of that nature. Whereas the Europeans have, at least some of the Europeans have, and other countries have. So, the Pope is saying, you know, you better turn off your AC, you better live in a small efficiency apartment and drive a hybrid car, and preferably a bicycle if you can. Just don't venture out too far. They want to keep their thumb on you. It's all part of. Remember we talked about Agenda 21 on this program? I had a special guest about a year ago, Alexander Swan, that came on. We had a special program where we talked about it. And I'm sure many of you have heard about it on other programs. And Agenda 21 is one of their agendas, also Agenda 30, where everything that I've said, you know, they want to talk about sustainable development. You know, we want to make sure that everything is managed properly, and that we take care of our environment in such a way that we don't want to destroy it. And so we're going to deprive ourselves of any of these so-called luxuries, you know, I mean, living in a house more than, or any place greater than, you know, 400 or 500 square feet, or having a vehicle that, you know, that doesn't get the best gas mileage, any of these things. These are bad. You're wrong. Do as we say. So this is, and so the Pope talked about Agenda 30, about Agenda 2030. What that means is really just a continuation and an addendum to Agenda 21, where over the next 15 years at the most, they want to have all of this implemented, where property rights and all these things look, we have, I have actually spoken with Eastern Europeans that have worked in law, and they have had an entire law practice. We're talking a post-communist regime, post-1989, where their entire job is trying to understand the real estate law, dealing with their clients to give them back the land that they lost under the communist regime. The land that was taken from them because they were only given so much appropriated land that was appropriated to them. And when we hear these new agendas, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development, carbon, you know, carbon, being aware of the carbon emissions and all these things that the Pope and the world leaders are talking about, this is nothing new. It's just repackaged. It's all it is. It's the same horrible gift, just repackaged, and you know, with a pretty bow, and it's just, yeah. But there have been attorneys that have spent careers now in a post-communist world in Eastern Europe, just trying to give their people their land back, trying to figure out, okay, where are the boundaries, where, you know, the property lines, etc. Does that not tell you something? And is that not a warning for most of us, a wake-up call of what can happen in our world? So the Pope made some controversial comments. Some are defending them, some are not, about Jesus Christ. And he said that Jesus' life ended in failure. And obviously, Jesus, his physical body, was broken. Broken because he gave his life. He said, I give my life as a ransom for many. I give my life. No one took it. He gave it away so that he could take our place, the plan of salvation. And that's why when he died, he said, it is finished. You know, he completed the work, the finished work on the cross. He went to the grave, yes, but on the third day he arose. And I believe that the Pope said what he said, where it was right there on the line, the gray area, where he said that Christ ended, his life ended in failure, because he wanted that debate. He wanted some that, you know, those that are part of the crowd, the sheeple, if you will, to just hear it and, whether consciously or subconsciously, react accordingly. And say, well, maybe it was. And to feel sympathy. If you notice that when you look at so many of the statues of Christ within Catholicism, that it's always, you always see Christ crucified. You never see him in triumph. It's always, almost always, not entirely, but almost always, or maybe you have these images of Mary holding Jesus after he's died, always in a very compromised and disadvantaged position. And so the Pope says that his life ended in failure. I looked at the transcript even in Spanish because Pope, as many of you know, I do speak Spanish, and I've spoken Spanish for 20 years, though I'm not Hispanic. I started when I was just a teenager. But, you know, I read it in Spanish, and to me it was even more clear that this is what that the Pope's intent was to degrade, demean, and to diminish the deity and the lordship of Christ. And that word that we get for failure has a couple of meanings. La vida de Jesús terminó en un fracaso, dijo el Papa. That's what it says in Spanish. And that word, fracaso, when you translate it into English, can mean failure, can also mean a disaster or doomed. So some translators would say that it ended in failure, that it ends in failure, or some that it ended in disaster. No, he triumphed. When he gave his life crucified on the cross, you see. That's why he said it is finished. And at that moment, Satan lost the battle. But it's important that, it's necessary, I should say, that the beast speak these things against the Most High. To change times and laws, to change the way we think, to confuse us. You've got people that are being interviewed that are truly sincere people. And look, I don't want anybody to get misunderstood here. I love Catholic people, and there are some wonderful Catholic people. And I honestly feel badly for a lot of Catholic people who feel so confused right now because they feel like that they once were part of a church that stood for values and for decency and spoke about the lordship of Christ, and now they're not hearing that. All they're hearing of is this kind of this new age, tree-hugging kind of doctrine now. What's become of it? Christ's life ending in failure. No, he triumphed over the grave. And you see it at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming back again. But Revelation 13 says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, out of a multitude of people. That's what that word sea really means when they're referred to in the Bible. A beast is a government. And there's a second beast that gives power unto the first beast. All the world wonders after the beast. All the world wonders, just enamored, just in awe. We will, hopefully, prayerfully, Lord willing, take some time to break this apart. I want to tell you right now that, I don't have to tell you. You know that we are living in some pretty crazy times right now. And if we're not careful, we will fall victim to what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, warned us of. That is, to be deceived. He said, be careful, take heed, that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. It's also important that we understand something else. That when we hear the word Antichrist, which is only mentioned a couple of times in the Bible, the word anti actually does not mean against, but rather to take the place of, in place of Christ. He sits in the temple of God, claiming that he is God. And don't think for a moment that figure works alone. But it is the beast system, it's the government system. So John says, I saw a government come up out of the sea or out of a multitude of people. And if you will join with me on future broadcasts, you will understand who and what the beast is with total clarity, total understanding, without a doubt. And we will break through and sift through some of the myths, some of the confusion, and get to the clear-cut message of the last days. Am I saying that the world is going to end tomorrow? No. No, time could go on for a few more years, sure, although I do not believe in any way that we are hundreds of years away from the return of Christ. I believe that if you understand and trust the Bible, Jesus says the generation that sees the Word of God says the generation that sees these things happen. What we're seeing now will not pass away till everything's been fulfilled. I'm just paraphrasing here. And we are witnessing the rise of the beast. And I'll tell you something else. And I just feel led that to do some... I have devoted a lot of my life to studying in-depth Bible prophecy. And I'll tell you, it may not line up with 98% of what most mainline Bible prophecy teachers teach. So, if you believe in the whole Left Behind, Tim LaHaye, Jeremy Jenkins, I respectfully disagree with that framework. But I still invite you to hear what I have to say. But there is hope in all this. We're not afraid. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I do believe that we will be caught up. But I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. As a matter of fact, the doctrine of a seven-year tribulation period is totally unbiblical. It's totally unbiblical. Someone would say, oh, how can you say such heretical things? Nothing heretical about it. There is no seven-year period. Misinterpreted. How can I say that? Where you say, oh, Magellan, what are you doing? What are you saying? Where does that come from? I'm just giving you a little preview of what we'll talk about in future broadcasts, at least on some of our broadcasts, not entirely. But if you look in the book of Daniel, and it talks about the 70 weeks of Daniel, which are interpreted into 490 years. What prophecy teachers have done is they have, under the influence of, these 490 years, which are 70 biblical weeks, and it started at the time of Darius, King Darius. Now, I think if you went ahead and just naturally took those 70 biblical weeks or 490 literal years, it would take you to the time of Christ, where it says that the Messiah would cause the sacrifice to cease because he gave his life as a ransom for many. It is a messianic prophecy. We need not only go to Isaiah 53, which speaks of the Lord's coming, first coming, or Isaiah 9, where it also speaks of the Lord's birth at his first coming. But we can also look into the book of Daniel for that. as well as looking at prophecies for the latter days as well. So what prophecy teachers have done is they've taken that 70th week of Daniel, or that last 7 years of that 490-year prophecy, which started at the time of King Darius and should obviously have ended around the time of Jesus' time on this earth, around the time that he gave his life on the cross. But they've taken that 7 years and they futurized, and they said that this last week, the 70th biblical week, or this last 7 years, must be the last 7 years of Earth's history. And so that's the biblical time clock. The Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour, but yet we have said that once this happens, we've got 7 years left. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but we have been told to believe that. We've been told to believe that. And so we said, well, how does it start? Well, we just have these prophecy teachers here again that say, well, it's going to start because you're going to have this this most likely atheistic figure that is going to show charisma, and he will call himself the Antichrist. He's going to work alone, but the world's going to follow after him. But the Bible clearly says that it is a beast system and is a religious system, but that he will reign in Jerusalem and that he will sign a peace accord or peace treaty with likely the Palestinians or one of the neighbors. And that's where they call the confirmation of the covenant. There's no biblical support for that. There's no biblical support or basis for that. We can make some conclusions. We can come to some certain conclusions when we read Daniel based upon what we've been told by the prophecy teachers. But we have to go line by line, precept upon precept. We have to understand what the Word of God says. But the good news is that we are not confined to a seven-year period of time. That as this beast system rises up, and I believe that it is rising even now, that the Word of God says that the days would be shortened for the elect, or the righteous, those that are in Christ, for believers' sake. And that the good news is, you know, that's why the Word says that he can come at a time when we least expected. And the other thing, too, the reason why I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, why I believe that I still believe we'll be caught up, is because the Word of God says that every eye shall see him on that day, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's going to come by surprise. The pre-tribulation rapture also asserts that you have a second chance. Where in Scripture does it say that? Today is the day of salvation. So you see everybody raptured, and you're still here. Okay, so then, you know, okay, you're going to get a second chance. So God gives us time now to accept him. Today is the day of salvation. John 3:16 still works. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He who has the Son has this life, and he who does not have the Son does not have this life. So we must confess him as Christ and Lord of our lives and believe. Also, this message, these warnings in Scripture are to the believer as well. So don't be afraid, but only believe. I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to share about the importance of these biblically prophetic topics. So a lot of headlines, even still, Congress right now is conducting a hearing on Planned Parenthood. This was just reported about an hour ago. United States and Cuban leaders are meeting for a second time this year this time on the sidelines of the UNGA. Stocks are tending to hold higher. Commodities gain. Of course, last night, the Asian markets really took a beating. Obama and Putin squared off on Monday at the United Nations. Paul Joseph Watson reports that that Germans could have their children snatched for anti-immigrant posts. Wow. I want to check out this article just as we begin to wrap up the program today. Quite disturbing. Germans, of course, who make the, they call them racist, anti-migrant posts. Is there anything about racism here? There's nothing to do with racism. Look, when you have, you know, a population that is coming in and violating the rule of law and borders, et cetera, nothing to do with race. But since they could have their children snatched by the state and be fired from their jobs, according to the German Lawyers Association. In an article entitled Racism and Parenting, Threatening Loss of Custody, lawyer Eva Becker, chair of the Working Group on Family Law in the German Bar Association, outlines the conditions under which xenophobic Facebook posts could lead to parents being targeted. Although Becker asserts that merely opposing the settlement of migrants in Germany would not lead to parental rights being terminated, such views could easily lead to someone being fired from their job. So the whole idea of free speech is becoming just something of our past, especially in certain countries. While this appears to be a high bar, idle threats of violence are made by countless people on the internet every day, with the vast majority going completely unpunished. Given the apparent cover-ups of rapes being committed by migrants in Germany, the notion of an irate father making violent comments in the heat of the moment for Grand is entirely plausible. Although such comments are obviously abhorrent, should they really lead to children being taken away from their parents by the state? So in other words, you know, you have, let's say, a German family, and their child maybe is a victim of some violent act by a Syrian migrant, then they are just speaking out of line, and they should lose their job and lose their kids by the state authorities. Absolutely crazy. Well, while Germany and its citizens are dealing with this crisis, we remain here in the United States in our little cocoon right now. But Secretary Kerry first said we're going to have 10,000. Then 80,000, and watch that number just go up into the hundreds of thousands and into the millions. 2016 should be a very interesting year. Very interesting indeed. This is not just happening for no reason or out of thin air. The world leaders are coming together. And they totally despise leaders like Vladimir Putin, who I'm not saying are perfect by any means. And the only reason why they haven't given Vladimir a good kick in the rear is because Vladimir, the head of a military superpower, and they don't want to anger him because they hate the fact that he is politically incorrect. that he says that he wants to maintain Russian values and culture and way of life. So they've yet to conquer him. But we are seeing shifts and changes in our world like never before. Most of all, you can do all of these things to prepare yourself in the physical sense, and that's nothing wrong with that. But know that the most important thing, as I see it, is to be in Christ Jesus and to know him in the power. I like what Paul did. I'm going to wrap up here. I'm going to look up that scripture. Honestly, I cannot remember the verse. I know it's one of Paul's writings, but I want to actually get the verse. It's to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. But I want to get the... I want to look up this verse here. I should have done that before the show, but it just came to me. I'm looking this up on Google here. Knowing Christ and... Okay, here we go. It comes out of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, where Paul is speaking to the church of Philippi. He says, I want to know Christ. To know Christ, that I may know him. And in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So the ultimate is to know him. Where is the power? Yes, it does say that it does speak of his death, of course. But most of all, it's I want to know him. Where's the power at? In his resurrection. The resurrected, the risen Christ. Not the failed Christ. The life of Jesus is not a failure. It's not. It is a victory. And it is. Thank you for joining us for the Magellan Show. We went a little overtime today, but that's okay. Sometimes we just got to speak it, right? We'll be back here on Thursday, October the 1st, for another edition of the Magellan Show. God bless all of you. Have a great day. If you want to stay in touch with us, our email address is contact@MagellanShow.com. We're on Twitter @RealMagellan. Our website, www.MagellanShow.com. We want to thank all the websites for posting our programs, websites like IQDcalls.com. We do appreciate very much. Thanks for listening. God bless all of you. If you want to donate to what we're doing, we would appreciate it. We really, really would. It helps us keep going. Click on the donate button on our website, MagellanShow.com. We do appreciate that. God bless all of you. Have a great day. This is Magellan signing off for now.